Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran at the 2018 London Swine Conference. My guest is Dr. John Patience, a professor in applied swine nutrition with Iowa State University. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Patience.
Well, it's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me, Bruce.
As part of the 2018 London Swine Conference, you presented the CFM DeLong Lecture, Innovative Formulation from External Pressures. First of all, what are the external factors that are influencing decision-making in terms of nutrition management, and how have those factors changed or evolved?
Very good question, Bruce, and a lot to it. But fundamentally, we see those pressures in general terms coming from legislation and regulation. They come from the consumer marketplace and the changing expectations that consumers have of the food that they eat. It comes from technology and new opportunities that are presented to the farming community to produce better pork and to produce better quality product, to produce it at lower cost, etc. So those would be the main forces that we're dealing with.
What needs to be considered when making decisions in the wake of these changing pressures, and why?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that faces not just pork producers, but it really affects almost everybody in society now, is this massive explosion of information and our ability to access. So, number one, there's new information being generated at a furious pace on a global basis, and secondly, because of the internet, we're able to access that information. And so that presents a real challenge to people in agriculture, but really anybody in society, is how do you access the information you need? How do you not waste time on the information you don't need? Because every hour that you spend on the internet accessing information that's of no real value to you is an hour that you're taking away from your farming operation and where you can be doing good. And then secondly, you got to filter that information, what is true and what is not true. And we know there's a lot of information out there that is completely made up. There's other information which is only partially correct. And how do I, as a pork producer or somebody in the feed industry, and frankly, somebody who works in an academic environment as I do, how do we make sure that we're acquiring the right information and that we're identifying the information that's flat out incorrect and we avoid it?
When considering new information, how do we filter it? How do we determine the inaccurate from the accurate or the important from the unimportant?
Well, that's a big question, and I'll give a bit of a historical context, Bruce. In when I was growing up, and still to some extent, here in Canada, we have some news sources that we can have confidence in that the information they're providing is reasonably accurate. Nobody's perfect, and we know that every news source, sorry Bruce, but every news source can make mistakes, right? And but typically a good news source that makes a mistake comes forward and said that story is wrong and we're recalling it or whatever. Doesn't always happen, but generally it happens. So we've had news sources that we've understood. We grew up with them, the newspapers, the news sources on TV and radio, and we developed a confidence in them or not. And so we knew, based on experience, whether we could trust certain sources or not trust certain sources. But now, with the advent of the internet, there are so many new sources out there. In the world of science, there's an explosion in the number of journals, and many of those journals are, we shouldn't even call them scientific journals because they're not. And I'll get an email virtually every day on a new journal. And you can't have any confidence in that information. So that's in those journals. So we have to look at the source and we have to develop confidence in the source. And I think the same applies now, that there's going to be certain websites that we're going to have confidence in and there's other websites that we won't. But the joy of it is we don't have to depend on only one web source. Like when we were growing up, maybe there was only one TV station, if you're as old as I am, or two. Maybe there was only one newspaper, so you didn't he didn't have that opportunity to compare sources, where now, with the internet, I can read the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star, the Toronto Sun, and compare their stories. I can read the Globe and Mail, the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Times, and compare their stories. I can listen to CBC, I can listen to public radio, I can listen to BBC, and I can compare their stories. So I can see where do they agree, and if they agree, then that's probably something I can have confidence in. If they disagree, then I have to dig a little bit deeper. And the same would apply to websites. So that's how we can evaluate different sources of information. We have to question everything. We absolutely have to question everything. And we know with what was going on in the last election, with the Russians, just, you know, spreading information, maybe they were trying to, you know, favor one candidate versus another, but we certainly know they were trying to disrupt the process. And we have to be aware of that. And I talked about confirmational bias, where we'll tend to believe sources that say things that we believe to be true. That's very dangerous.
What are some of the fundamental influences that need to be factored in decision-making moving forward, and why?
Great. Well, once again, we have to evaluate our sources, Bruce, ourselves, but then I think we also have to turn to experts. So if I'm a pork producer, I will be consulting with veterinarians, with perhaps accountants, to dealing with tax laws and so on, a lawyer for certain purposes. I'll be consulting with a nutritionist or a feed company, a geneticist or a genetics company, because they have specialists who have the time to access the information specific to their area of expertise. I can't not be on my own. I can't be a nutritionist, a geneticist, a veterinarian, and a tax lawyer. So I have to increasingly, and unfortunately, all those things are getting more complicated, whether it's nutrition or genetics or tax law, they're all getting more complicated, so we need even more to depend on those experts to help us out. But still, at the end of the day, we're the person that makes the decision, and we have to weigh that information that we get from those sources. And if I can take just a moment to explain how we can double check things. I don't teach very much at Iowa State, but I do teach guest lectures. And one professor was explaining to me, this happened a number of years ago when the internet was still relatively new, but the student was sitting in class with his computer open, and the professor was a little annoyed that the students was paying attention to the computer and not listening to him. And so he walked over towards that student and he said to the student, What are you doing? Are you surfing the net? Are you sending email? What are you doing? And he said, oh, sir, I'm just looking up on the internet to see if what you're telling me is true. And, you know, if we teach nothing else to our students, we teach them how to think and how to evaluate and how to question and how to come up with their own right answer. And that, I mean, the professor was hugely impressed. He complimented the student. He said, wow, I wish all of you were doing this, because I'm telling you the truth, but if you confirm it, that's even better. So,
what are the potential consequences of making decisions based on inaccurate information, and what are the factors there?
Well, that's a very, very good question, Bruce, and really the answer is a very sad one, that if we make a decision based on incorrect information, then we're going to make the wrong decision. And the problem with that is, I would be better off if I had no information and I had to make a decision, but I had no data, no information upon which to make a decision. I at least know that I have no information. I know I'm guessing, and it's just a random chance whether I get it right or not. But if I have incorrect information, so let's say that the information said I need this much lysine in the diet and it was wrong, well, I'm going to put that much lysine in my diet, but that could mean I'm wasting money on lysine that I don't need, or my pigs aren't going to perform properly because they're not getting enough lysine. But I think I'm making the right decision because I had information. So wrong information fundamentally is worse than no information at all.
What are the potential consequences of failing to respond to accurate information that is relevant?
Well, and that's the other side of that same coin, Bruce. And the reality there is, first, maybe I want to qualify what I'm going to say. From a pork producer's point of view, you can only do so much, right? You can't try to adapt or adopt every new technology that comes down the pipe. You can't expect of yourself to do more than what you really are capable of. And whether, because we all have limitations. A limitation could be time. I just don't have time to do all the things I know I should do. I may not have money. And to do some of the things that I think should be done, I need more money, and I just don't have that much money available to do those renovations or to make that investment in a new technology. So what we have to do then is we have to look at the available new information that's out there or new opportunities by coming to meetings like the London Swine Conference and seeing what's new and what's out there, and then going home, listening to programs like yourself, reading farm magazines, websites on the internet, and saying, okay, here's, you know, it's kind of like developing a life plan. You make a list and you say, okay, here's the things that I think are really important for the success of my farm. And I'm going to prioritize them because there's 10 on the list and I can't do 10 in 1 year. I don't have the money and I don't have the time. I think I can do 2. So I'm going to pick the 2 that I think are going to have the greatest impact long term, and I'm going to do them this year. And then next year, I'll do the next 2. And then the year after, I'll do the next 2. But I think we run the risk of trying to do too much, and maybe we don't do it as well as we should, or we just burn ourselves out. And one of the biggest problems in farming is that people work so hard for so long that they risk burnout. And so I think we want to temper our workload to the best of our ability. And I mean, during seeding and harvest or other things, there's stuff happens, right? We just have to deal with it. But to the greatest extent possible, we temper our expectations of ourselves.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I think my final conclusion on my presentation was I graduated from the University of Guelph in 1974, and to be successful in pork production, we always talked about the importance of pig husbandry or pigmanship, and that's just as true today as it was back 45 years ago, right? That being a good pig man or pig woman now, because we have many, many more women in our industry, and to our huge advantage, by the way, so that that's still number one. And all the technology in the world will not change the fact that knowing the pig, understanding the pig, and doing what's best for the pig is what will make us successful.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. John Patience, a professor in applied swine nutrition with Iowa State University. At the 2018 London Swine Conference for Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.